I am Martin Roberts, broadcasting live from my very cold treehouse in the West Country. Big thank you to Vanessa in Kingston. Morning, Vanessa, who's emailed me and said that she found my show last week while driving her nan to visit some relatives and that they listened all the way to Coventry. Well, I hope you had a good weekend there, Vanessa, and I hope you're listening this week. It's good to know you're there. Well, thank you for all the lovely things you said, and I hope you will join me for future shows. Now, if you'd like to pose a question or you simply want to get in touch, do email me, as I said, martin.roberts@talkradio.co.uk. Now it's time for my book club. I'm pausing at that point, hoping for the new trail sound ding jingle thing that one of our listeners very kindly said he would be making for me this week. So let's try that again. It's time for my book club. It's time for my book. Oh, for goodness sake. Sounds like it hasn't actually been made yet, but we are confident that by next week, I will have my new jingle, trail, introduce-y, soundy things that a listener very kindly offered last week to create for us. So very excited to hear that, because it's a lot better than what I was producing on my little hammer. Oh. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Talk Radio Property Show. Me, Martin Roberts. And it's that time of the show that you've all been waiting for. It's the book club. Yay! It's got to be better than that, hasn't it? Let's be true. Now, my special author this week is an award-winning journalist who's written several books, regularly lectures on retrofitting and repairs old buildings. And his latest book has just been released, and it's called New Designs for Old Buildings. I've got a copy in front of me here. It is absolutely fantastic. Welcome to the show, Roger Hunt.
Hello, Martin, and thanks very much for having me on the show.
Oh, it's a great... Listen, just explain this book and in simple terms what it's about, because I've got it in front of me and I'm going to talk through some of my thoughts about this, but it is fantastic.
Well, the book is focusing on how you can add to new buildings with new design that is very much for the 21st century rather than something that is sort of echoing the past. So... buildings over time have been added to with buildings that are sort of new of their time. The Georgians added wonderful Georgian extensions to older buildings and transformed earlier buildings, and so did the Victorians. We've rather tended in recent years to create pastiche of the past. We've been a bit frightened of new design. So this book is very much celebrating new design alongside old buildings and the historic environment.
So let's just try and put this into some kind of perspective. We've got basically very old buildings, which have then had a very, very modern, contemporary addition or enhancement added to them. And the combination of the old building and some fairly striking new addition, I think, well, I have to say it's probably Marmite, isn't it? Pete, you either love it or you hate it.
Yes, I think some people think it's sacrilege, but by and large, we're adding to the sort of architectural palette. It's what has made our villages, towns and cities interesting, actually, is the new additions that have been of their time. And it's really good that we've got some fantastic architects these days producing really, really good new designs and working with interesting materials as well to create those designs.
Prince Charles isn't probably your biggest fan, is he?
Well, maybe not, but at the same time, I'm a great admirer of him for his love of craftsmanship and materials and his great understanding of old buildings. I think he has done some fantastic work and kept skills alive. So, as you say, it's a bit Marmite.
One of my favourites, I don't know if you've, and I think this is an interesting adjunct to what you're talking about, I don't know if it was planned like this, but it certainly works well whenever I see it. In Plymouth, as you come into Plymouth, they've left an old church, which was obviously heavily bombed in the Second World War. And it is just a derelict remains of a, skeletal church, if you like. Behind it, there is a new shopping arcade. Mm. And the shopping arcade, if I can describe it, almost looks like almost a flower or a firework going off. So it's got sort of metal pieces coming up at angles from one point at the bottom. So it's almost like something exploding from the floor. So when you drive into Plymouth, you get the church in the foreground, and you get this almost amazing sort of backdrop of this new building. I thought that's really interesting. I presume they planned it like that, but that's almost using neighbouring buildings to enhance older buildings as well.
Oh, yes. It doesn't have to be an extension to an old building. I think it is actually building something that is very much of today in the historic environment. So they don't have to be attached, but it is just... The two things set off each other. I think that is really what you've got to achieve with this sort of thing. And it's not just about extensions or new buildings. It can be an intervention in an older building where maybe you have the staircase had fallen apart and was no longer there, and you put in a fantastic new modern staircase, but within the historic building. So there are a huge number of things you can do with old buildings. And I think one of the most interesting examples, actually, was when I visited the Oxford, the Museum for Natural History in Oxford. And actually there, it's about the lighting, because they were faced with this problem where they had very poor lighting within the museum. But it's a listed structure, so they couldn't start drilling holes and bolting on lights. In fact, the way they fixed the lights was with magnets, and they actually exhausted the supply of magnets in the UK for some time because they used so many of them to fix the lighting fixtures.
And whereabouts is that? In the Natural History Museum,
is it? That's the Oxford, in Oxford, yeah.
Oh, right, OK. Because I was going to talk about the Natural History Museum in London, obviously one of my favourite buildings, just stunning. And when they built an extension on the side of that, they went for the idea they'll make it look different. That must have been a difficult call. I mean, really difficult.
I think it's always a difficult call, and it's one where you have to have confidence in the architect, and you have to, as the client, you have to have confidence, just as with any building project, really. And it is often convincing people that it is a good idea to do that. But I think we have ended up with some fantastic buildings because of it.
So what's the attitude of the planners to this, especially when it comes to listed buildings? Because I know if you go down the trying to make it the same route, you get into the realms of what seems at times, you know, just so much attention to detail. It's crazy. I remember when I've got a Grade Two listed house, and when they were repointing, you know, I had the builders outside at the front crushing bits of shell and coal and all sorts of stuff to get the mortar to look, you know, as it was required. You know, so on that one hand, you're trying to do something which looks absolutely the same, but it seems it's okay to do the complete opposite, but you can't sort of piddle around in the middle.
Well, I think there's a great difference between adding something new and repairing an old building. Maintenance of old buildings is a hugely important thing, and doing it using the right materials is key, because if you start using modern materials to repair an old building, you then start causing damage. And the majority of damp problems in old buildings are actually caused because people have used the wrong materials. It's not about going in and using chemicals and damp-proof courses injected into walls. It is actually about using the right materials so those old walls can breathe in the way that they were designed to do in the first place. The understanding of walls is something that all homeowners really need to do. They need to understand their old buildings, because if you put a cement render or you use cement pointing on an old building, you're trapping the moisture in the wall, because those walls were designed to breathe. The moisture went into the walls, but when the sun came out and the wind blew, the moisture came out of the wall again. It evaporated off. And the same thing was going on inside, because you had the big open fires and they were drafty buildings, so the moisture evaporated out of the walls. And when you start using these new materials, it's a bit like me putting on a plastic mac and going for a long country walk on a hot day. You get very, very sort of damp. And it's exactly the same thing as happening with buildings if you start sort of wrapping them up in the wrong materials.
So that's where lime mortar and things come into play.
Yes, lime is a beautiful material. It looks wonderful, and it's breathable. It allows that moisture to come out of the building.
Right. So your book, then, New Design for Old Buildings, how did you go about choosing the buildings that would feature in it?
Well, it was actually quite difficult. When we first thought about the idea of writing the book, we thought it might be quite difficult to find buildings. We decided that we would concentrate on UK buildings. And when we actually started researching it, we discovered there were huge numbers of buildings out there. And I think we looked at something like 100 buildings, and an awful lot of them are included in the book. So there's no scarcity of buildings. And I think in the last few years, we are really seeing this concept taken up by owners and architects, where new design can really play a part in creating wonderful buildings.
There's one picture that just is just extraordinary, where it's the Corton steel is intrinsic to the design of the Dovecot Studio in Suffolk. Oh, yeah. So you've got basically, how can I describe this? You've got this ramshackle, literally you would knock it down, sort of outbuilding type thing, where you've got, which is traditional red engineered brick, but it's got all the frames, the wood frames that are all falling to pieces, and it's got ivy growing over the top of it. So it is a classic derelict, no roof sort of thing that you just knock down that thing down it. And then somebody has built in the middle of it, it sort of freestanding, this construction out of what looks like sheet steel, which is now rusting. So it's this amazing sort of rustic red colour which complements the brick below it. And then there's just a single pair of anthracite grey double glazed doors which enter into this property. And it just looks amazing.
I think it really is an amazing example, that, and it's on the coast, so it sort of sometimes is shrouded in mist. So you almost sort of wonder whether you're seeing things when you first see it, because it is this wonderful contrast of old and new. And I think it is probably one of the sort of best examples, actually, of what we're talking about here. And it goes very much along with the sort of the views of the Society for the Protection of Ancient Buildings, who we've written the book in association with, where they really back this idea of keeping the old, repairing the old, but then inserting these wonderful structures within them. And this particular one, it's sort of like a bit like a tooth dropped into the socket of the old building.
Yes, it is, but it's just utterly striking. Well, listen, it's a fantastic book. Where do we get hold of it, Roger?
You can get hold of it from the RIBA bookshop, that's the Royal Institute of British Architects bookshop, or on Amazon, dare I say it, or bookshops.
Okay.
It is fairly widely available.
And it's got Kevin McLeod doing a foreword for you, which is always good.
Yes, he did a wonderful foreword, which we're very grateful
this
for.
This is just right up his street, this kind of stuff you're talking about here. It's brilliant. And I just very quickly to finish off, you've got in here something about 10 years ago on Homes Under the Hammer, we filmed a Martello tower down on the south coast. If you don't know what these are, folks, it's actually a sort of, it was built by the, I think, in Napoleonic times, and its walls are 10 feet thick, and it's probably about 30 feet high, but it looks like a classic kids sand castle, and they are amazing. And we for 10 years we've been trying to go back to see what somebody has done to it, and we haven't quite managed it yet. But you've got actually a Martello tower in the book which has been converted. I just wonder if that's the actual one we featured.
Yeah, I don't know, sadly, but it is certainly a wonderful, wonderful building, and hugely brave owners to take on a building like that was sort of derelict and a very, very difficult building to convert and bring that new design.
Well, I mean, they are actually classed as ancient monuments, which is, the same as Stonehenge. So you're trying to get a conservatory on Stonehenge, it's not going to be easy, is it?
But the clever thing about that Martello tower is the way the roof has been done, that it's a sort of curved, beautifully shaped roof on top. But it's been designed like that so that actually you don't see it from the distances. So you're still appreciating the landscape and the way that Martello tower sits in the landscape without realizing it's got that fantastic area on top of it, which is actually the kitchen space on top of the Martello tower.
Yeah, amazing stuff. Look, it's a great book, a great Christmas gift or whatever. Thanks very much for joining us. Lovely to talk to you.
And thank you very much, Martin.
Yes.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Always like talking about old buildings.
Well, exactly, absolutely. Well, that's Roger Hunt, who is co-author of New Design for Old Buildings, which is published in association with the Society for the Protection of Ancient Buildings, which is SPAD. Thank you very much, Roger.